Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is The Jerry Callahan Show.
It is Friday, April 19th, the end of a wild week in the United States. Donald Trump spent the week in court facing ridiculous felony charges. And Joe Biden spent it out on the campaign trail. And Trump had a much better week than the president. And it's not even close. I think Trump should just stay in court. Hey, just stay there. It's like hiding in the basement. Stay in court. Let Joe Biden flounder and stumble and lie and just show the country that he's incapable of campaigning. He literally can't do it. He's incapable of hitting the campaign trail and winning hearts and minds. Last night, perhaps you were sleeping. Israel retaliated against Iran. Apparently, don't is not an effective foreign policy because Israel did, and Iran is now promising to fire back. So it's just going to escalate. That's not good for Joe Biden. Neither is the reaction here in this country. College campuses have been taken over by pro-Hamas supporters who are promising more October 7th, who are threatening Jewish students because God knows a 19-year-old kid on a college campus in America has a lot to do with war 7,000 miles away. God, these people are insane. They're incoherent. They're unhinged, and they're not going anywhere. You know why? Because they pay no price. There were 108 arrests at this Columbia protest yesterday. All 108 will be back on the street today. None of them will pay a price. How do I know that? Because the ones from 3 days ago are paying no price. The protesters who blocked the Golden Gate Bridge for 5 hours have been released. Charges dropped. Just breaking. Charges dropped. No charges. No price to pay. No consequences. As we said the other day, and I'll say it again, if these people were Trump supporters or pro-Israel supporters, they'd be facing years in prison. That's why Trump supporters, pro-Israel supporters, don't do this, because they have to pay a price. If you support subhuman savages who burn babies alive, who rape corpses, who shoot kids in the face, you're cool. You're okay. No problem. Burn away. burn the flag. Threaten Jewish students. Assault cops. My favorite part of these arrests are when they can't believe they're getting arrested. What are you doing? Well, don't touch me. And the cops are trying to put the zip ties on them. What do you mean I'm arrested? I support Hamas. I hate America. You can't arrest me. One of the arrests was in New York, was Israa Hirsi, the daughter of a sitting member of Congress, Ilhan Omar, the leader of the Hamas caucus, a woman who despises the country, who has given her everything, the woman who spent time in a refugee camp in Kenya before America threw a lifeline. She comes here and she says her top priority is supporting Somalia. Yes, Somalia. That's a congresswoman. There are, and she's not alone. I want to start with this. We're going to get to Biden's campaign stops yesterday, which were hilarious. absolutely hilarious. Joe Biden thinks he can do what Donald Trump does. He thinks he can go into a convenience store and find some support and appear to be. We'll start with this because it's funny. It's Friday. Let's start with the funniest clips. And then I'm going to get to the protests and the barbarians who are not at the gate. The barbarians are in Congress. We're going to get to Ilhan Omar and Ayanna Pressley and AOC and the rest of these subversives who are serving in the House. But yesterday, while Donald Trump was tied up in court in New York during jury selection and was violating the gag order, which is going to be fun, just so you know, Judge Mershon, the Biden supporter, Judge Mershon is going to put Trump in jail. That is coming. He will do that. He has to hear the prosecution, the DA's objections to the gag order. They're going to ask him to put Trump in jail, and he's going to put Trump in jail. That's coming. Ooh, that's coming. But until then, I guess Donald Trump can sit tight and let Joe Biden go out there and just humiliate himself. Here's what's going to happen. The Biden campaign is going to say, this isn't working. We can't do this. He can't campaign. He can't make speeches. He's incapable. He's going back to the basement. Before we get to yesterday's comical appearance at a Wawa, which is, I've been to Wawa's. It's a very popular convenience store in certain places in Pennsylvania. I've never been in one that has no people in it. Joe Biden has this incredible knack of finding places that have no people. He needs people. He wants people. And I guess they see him coming and they leave because he can't find a crowd to pretend to support him. But here's a quick recap of this week on the campaign trail for Joe Biden. Are you ready for this? Just in the last 3 days, Joe, during his campaign stops in Pennsylvania, which is the only swing state he can go to because he can, you know, be back in bed by 8 o'clock. He falsely claimed his Uncle Bozy was eaten by cannibals. We gone over that. He instructed Israel not to bomb Haifa. That would be the third largest city in Israel. So I guess he's got that going for him. Israel did listen to him. He said, don't bomb your own city.
Don't.
And they did. So I guess you give him credit for that. He asked Americans if they were ready to choose freedom over democracy. Yes, he did. We have that sound. He falsely claimed he spoke to no one about the Trump prosecution. An absolute flat-out lie. He claimed his mother, quote, didn't live in Scranton. I can't even go through this. His mother didn't live in Scranton since she was 1954. We played that cut. He told steelworkers, quote, the middle class didn't build America. He falsely claimed he was ahead in 35 polls. 35 polls. He claimed he cut the federal deficit. Another lie. He claimed he never earned $400,000 because he's lying and saying if you make less than $400,000, he won't increase your taxes. And he said, I've never made $400,000. He's making $400,000 now. Plus, he made millions in his money laundering scheme over the years. We know that. And he goes out there. Here's where you got to give Trump credit. He never pretends to be something he's not. He's a fabulously wealthy real estate developer. He grew up rich. He's been rich his whole life. He never goes out there and says, yeah, you know, I grew up on the mean streets of Queens. You know, I know what it's like to work a minimum wage job. He never even appears outside of his, you know, blue suit and red tie. He doesn't pretend to be a working class guy. Joe Biden does. Joe Biden's been rich since he was 28 years, his whole life. He grew up a rich kid, went to private schools. His father was a rich car dealer. And he just lies every day. Oh, we sat around the kitchen table and couldn't figure out how to pay the bills. He's lived in mansions since he was 30. He's found ways to buy mansions since he was first in the Senate. He's always been a rich kid, but he thinks somehow he can pull this act off. Oh, yeah, I'm like you. I'm from Scranton. Actually, he's not. So he decides, and by the way, when he's on these campaign appearances, he mocks the fact that he's trying to put Trump in prison. He mocks the fact that his surrogates in New York, you know, in Atlanta, are working hard to imprison his opponent, and laughs. Gee, where's Trump today? He's in court facing phony charges, which are directed by you and your DOJ. Anyway, so Trump has this wildly successful appearance at the bodega in Harlem the other day. Huge crowd, chance of Trump, 4 more years. Kids yelling, "We love Trump." There wasn't a dissenting voice in the crowd in Harlem. It worked. It was brilliant. Well, Joe Biden says, you know, I got to do that. And he decides to go to a convenience store. We saw him 2 days ago at another convenience store when there was no one there. And he was wandering like an 81-year-old dementia patient, which he is. Yesterday, he goes to a Wawa in Pittsburgh. I don't even understand this. They choreograph the whole thing ahead of time. They literally tell the kid at the counter what he wants for food. And they tell him Joe Biden's going to hand him some money and give him a tip. They tell people where to stand. Do we have that video, Ironhead, of them practicing?
Yes.
This is how bad they are at this. You don't do this on camera. You don't choreograph the appearance on camera, but they did. And they have a guy telling everybody, you know, what's going to happen. And Joe Biden doesn't stick to the script, which is he's, you know, known for. He's incapable. But let's watch the practice. They practice Biden's appearance at a convenience store. Let's watch. Tells the guy where to stand.
Gives him already made sandwiches too. Like,
yeah, here's the sandwich you're gonna give him. And he tells him he's gonna hand him the money. Another guy. And the kid's like, okay, there's like 4 handlers, the visiting angels here, showing him where to stand, where to put the food. All right, now let's go to the appearance when the empty husk wanders into the store. Again, there's nobody there. I'm not even sure how you can find a place on a busy Thursday with nobody in it. He wanders in, he gets the food, and he goes off script because he wants a milkshake. Oh, you got milkshakes.
Who asked for milk? Yeah, who asked for milkshakes at the convenience store the other day? Or at a restaurant? That'd be Donald Trump. Asked for 30 of them.
Good point. Donald Trump says, you have milkshakes? I want 30 of them at Chick-fil-A. Milkshakes for everyone. What does Biden do? Give me one milkshake. I mean, there's not 30 people there to buy for, but you think he would say, hey, let me get everybody here, all 4 or 5 people, milkshake. But he doesn't do it because he's incapable. This is hilarious, though. He doesn't even know how. I've mentioned this before. He couldn't work in a 7-Eleven or a Wawa. He couldn't make change. He couldn't fill an order. He can't even order at a fast food place. Let's watch.
Hey.
Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, how are you doing today?
No, pleasure.
It's a pleasure to meet both of you.
You got myself,
this is for you, man.
Oh, yeah.
And this is for you, sir.
All right. And this is a tip for you. I know it's all been paid.
Thank you so much, sir. Do you mind speaking? Yeah. Thank you, sir.
What's your name?
My name is David Johnson.
Good to see you, David.
Thank you, sir.
You know, Her Honor the Mayor.
Oh.
Nice how are you, David?
I'm fine, yourself.
Right. No, he didn't.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I got to check out one thing here. What kind of drinks do you have?
So whatever you like, sir, we can customize it to your specifications. So we have
customized
milkshakes, we have refreshers,
how about a milkshake? Black and white.
A black and white milkshake? We could perfectly make that for you, sir. So if you would actually like to, right over there, where it says order
black
you
and white milkshake.
Specification again. That includes whipped cream and other types.
He's just so all confused.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
And he puts the food in the box, and he can't close the box. Finally, he says, you do.
We can take that box.
You take that box? I'm going to go order a milkshake.
I'm going to go order a milkshake, and he wanders over.
He left the register where you would order that.
There's literally nobody, nobody there. And they're trying to direct him to the milkshake stand, and he's excited. Ooh, there are, what, half a dozen photographers.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
And no people. He can't do it. They have to just scrap the plan and say, Joe, back to the basement.
This is so bad.
He has 6 months to do this, to try to do this. All right, before we get to all the chaos on the college campuses and the Democrats who refused to condemn it, there was Biden made a little speech, and you got to listen closely because he's literally like falling asleep. But he talks about, and again, this is off script. He talks about seeing signs. Trump signs when he's on the campaign trail, and F Joe Biden signs. And he talks about a kid that he sees on the campaign trail. Now, normally when he sees a kid, his first instinct is to hold his hand or sniff her hair.
Rub thighs.
let's listen to Joe Biden tell the story of the kid he saw while driving around on the campaign trail. Go ahead.
I've never thought I'd see a time when I'm going through a neighborhood or a rural town in the West to see big signs that have a Trump sign in the middle that says F Biden, and having a little kid standing with his middle finger, 7 years old, 8 years old. Well, I promise it happens all the time.
I promise little kids flip me off, which he finds offensive. Everybody knows little kids should not be out there on the street flipping the bird to the president. They should be in libraries listening to drag queens read them kiddie porn. They should be sitting in class learning about how they were assigned a sex at birth. They should be busy in school learning about the LGBTQIA mafia. It happens all the time. Kids flipping him the bird. It is amazing. There's no Biden signs. There's no Biden support. There's no Biden enthusiasm. And I guess he must not see it or must not hear it until he hits the road. That was just a day on the campaign trail. Trump in court as the jurors admit the truth that they can't be fair. They can't be objective. And the jury selection phase is going to take a little longer than we thought because people are telling the truth. You know what the most amazing thing about the Trump trial?
They're actually telling the truth. that's pretty
the thing amazing. That gets jurors dismissed is what the judge is guilty of. If you say, yes, I donated to Biden, you're gone. If you're a juror, but not if you're a judge. You know, if you say your family is working for Democrats, you're gone. If you're a juror, not a judge. So it's okay for the judge to be blatantly biased, but not jurors. I mean, what more do you need to know? Judge Mershon could not be a juror, but he can be a judge. Alvin Bragg could not be a juror, but he can be a prosecutor. It's just the most unfair, ridiculous, un-American thing I think we've ever seen. But speaking of un-American, we got to get to the Democrats because we are in a dangerous place. We really are. We have people in Congress who support the maniacs who are protesting from coast to coast in support of subhuman savages who kill children. We'll get to that and lots more. Oh, and we have to pay tribute to some 13-year-old girls in West Virginia. Finally, someone is taking a stand, standing up to the trans mob. It took young kids. It took middle schoolers in West Virginia, but hopefully, you know, they're leading the way. We'll tell you about that and more, but first.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Excuse me.
We all know the stock market has seen unprecedented fluctuation over the past 3 years, and I'm just going to guess that's going to continue for at least another year. While silver has historically been considered a safe haven asset during times of market volatility, when uncertainty rises, investors often turn to precious metals like silver to preserve wealth and hedge against economic instability. The silver to gold ratio is at record levels. Gold is currently at an all-time high, whereas silver is below 50% of its all-time high. A ratio like this is unheard of and provides a great time to add silver to your collection. Well, CSN Mint has been providing certified U.S. Mint collectible coins and precious metals for over 20 years, and they are one of the most trusted names in numismatics. Explore CSN Mint's extensive catalog of bullion bars, coins, and numismatic collectibles. Whether you're a seasoned investor or a passionate collector, you'll find a diverse range of products to suit your needs and preferences. Rest assured that every product you purchase includes the original certificate of authenticity or is certified and graded by a third-party grader to ensure origin and purity. With CSN Mint, you can build your collection with confidence. If you're going to collect something, it might as well be money. So go to csnmint.com/Jerry and use promo code Jerry at checkout to get a free silver American Eagle over a $30 value with your purchase of $75 or more. You know what I got to do today? I have to give Democrats credit. I really do. Democrats, there's a big difference in Democrats and Republicans right now. Democrats stick together. Democrats fight dirty. Mm-hmm. Democrats play to win. You have people in Congress. You have Democrats. Some of them are flat out supporters of Hamas. You have people in Congress who hate America. Congress people. Elected. And then you have others who I just assume don't. I mean, there's 214 Democrats. I assume some of them don't hate America, but they will never turn on their colleagues. They stick together, even though they have these vast differences. They don't care. It's about power to them. It's about winning. Republicans, they fight. They stab each other, not in the back, in the front. You have right now, you have this insurgence led by Marjorie Taylor Greene to oust Mike Johnson. And for good reason. Mike Johnson's a squish. He's a weasel. He's now he now has the support of Democrats. If Marjorie Taylor Greene tries to oust him, the Democrats are going to support him because he supports sending billions to Ukraine for their endless war. That's happening as we speak. Mike Johnson abandoned his party because he had some, you know, private meetings and learned, you know, he's being manipulated by Democrats. You have Chuck Schumer in the Senate, who was handed the articles of impeachment for Mayorkas, who deserves to be impeached, who deserves to be convicted, who deserves to be imprisoned. This man who's failed to do his job. They stick together. There's a congresswoman in New Mexico whose aide was killed by an illegal alien in a car accident. She doesn't want to impeach Mayorkas. That's how they stick. She doesn't even care. Her own staffer is expendable, just like Lake and Riley is expendable. They don't care. It's about power. They don't care. that the border's open because they know all 10 million people have come across are likely to vote for Democrats. The safety of their own constituents is irrelevant. They need power, and they never break ranks. Republicans every day are fighting, are disagreeing, which is good. They should, but Democrats don't. And the reason I bring this up is we talked about this the other day. We have the video. We have Congress people who refuse to condemn chance of death to America. We have people in New York City waving Hezbollah flags. We had people on Wall Street burning the American flag. We had people in Times Square celebrating Osama bin Laden. It's just an amazing moment in America. We have people on college campuses celebrating October 7th when 1,200 Israelis and Americans were slaughtered. They're on the side of Hamas. And if you can't condemn that, then, I mean, there's no hope for you. But they won't. They don't. This is a video, and we talked about this the other day. Hillary Vaughn's a reporter from Fox Business, and she asked a simple question. Can you condemn the people chanting death to America and burning the American flag? I mean, this isn't a tough question. Even if you're a radical subversive like AOC or Ayanna Pressley, it's simple. Yes, of course, they shouldn't do that. I mean, you could flip it around and say, I condemn that, but I also condemn Donald Trump and January 6th or whatever. Or you could say, of course, I condemn that, but what they're doing in Gaza is inhumane and we need a ceasefire and whatever. But you can't condemn burning the American flag and say, chance of death to America, and you're a sitting member of Congress? This was so insane, and it was just another day at the office for these people who hate the country they're supposed to be representing. AOC at least answers to the question, says, I don't know what you're talking about. But this is AOC, Ayanna Pressley, my congressperson, and Katie Porter, this morbidly obese woman from California. None of them will condemn chance of death to America. That's how far we've fallen. I can't imagine 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, any congressperson, I don't care who you are, you could be the craziest left-wing Bernie bro, 10, 15, 20 years ago would say, of course I condemn burning the American flag, chanting death to America, supporting Hezbollah and Hamas. I mean, it would be a no-brainer. But today, it's like just the way they are. It's just accepted. Yes, we have members of Congress who hate the country and want terrorists to win. It's just bizarre. Let's watch.
Anti-Israel protesters blocking the Brooklyn Bridge were burning the American flag and chanting death to America. Do you support that type of protest?
Yes, she does.
Do you support burning the American flag and chanting death to America? Does it sound
Hold
like
on.
This
that's
is protest?
My congresswoman, that's my congresswoman, Ayanna Pressley, a woman who just despises everything America stands for. She's from Chicago. She moved here and won a seat in the House. She cares about basically three things. She cares about abortion. She loves abortion. She cares about student loan forgiveness. She cares about taking money from working people and giving it to deadbeats with graduate degrees. And she cares about race, obsessed 100% with race. And she will not answer the question. Will you condemn? She is a coward. She's a radical. And she will not say, yes, of course I condemn burning the flag. You know why she won't condemn it? Because she supports it. She supports people who chant debt to America. She supports people who block bridges and harass Jewish students on campus. She supports people who wave the Hezbollah flag in Times Square. She's cool with that. AOC, she's next. Let's watch.
Does it sound like this is pro-Palestinian or anti-American if they're burning American flags and chanting death to America?
I'm not privy to
I haven't seen these reports. I'd have to check for them myself. Anti-Israel protesters blocking the Brooklyn Bridge burned the American flag and chanted death to America. Do you condemn this type of rhetoric?
We've got to get her on to her next event.
Here. Are you okay with people burning the American flag?
If you'd like to.
Why is that impossible to answer?
Are you okay with people chanting death to America?
Sorry, we've got to head in.
Congresswoman Porter, are you okay with people chanting death to America?
Like Chris Farley on SNL.
Is it okay? Do you not have a problem with it?
I'm not watching. She is morbidly obese, struggling just to walk. I mean, she would have run away, but she can't run. This is a congresswoman from California who ran for Senate, by the way, and lost to Adam Schiff. And she's allegedly just a mean, nasty woman who yells at her staff. People vote for this. People who live in my neighborhood vote for a woman who will not condemn death to America chants. This should be a campaign ad for Trump and for every Republican. I mean, we've reached the point where we have elected representatives who don't have a problem with people in the country burning the flag and saying death to America. There's a video, it's too long to play, but of a couple of guys who marched through Times Square and along the, I think they were in Wall Street too, with the flag. And they're getting harassed for carrying an American flag. They're told, people are telling them that they want to burn the country down, that they support Hamas. They literally light the, while the guy is talking to one of the radical, one of the protesters, another one goes behind him and lights his flag on fire. And the guy's shirt gets caught on fire and they laugh and walk away. And the cops, of course, do nothing. But that's who we have in Congress right now. That's who people who live right here near are voting for. They're voting for people who support people who burn the flag and chant death to America. This is a real inflection point. I hate that word, but at this point in the country, and you know why? Because it's not going away. They're upset about Israel trying to kill the terrorists who murdered babies. Israel's not going to stop. They're going to go into Rafah. They're going to fire back at Iran. And these people are going to be energized. That's one reason. The other reason? No consequences. None. Hell, there are as many people who are upset that they arrested the protesters at Columbia. There are administrators, professors who are outraged that they arrested the protesters who were chanting death to America and supporting Hamas. This is not going to change. It's going to continue because they pay no price. They don't even have to go to do community service. They don't even have to pay a fine. And I understand they're just dumb kids for the most part, 18, 19, 20 year olds, but they've been indoctrinated and they're not going to stop. They're emboldened. They're energized. They have support in the White House. They have support in Congress, in the Senate. It is a scary time in America. And I'm just glad my kids didn't go to an Ivy League school because, man, there is some. And Ilhan Omar, she'll probably say she's very proud of her daughter who got arrested yesterday. And we'll be back out protesting today because that's the way it works. True way it works.
Is that her daughter and also her niece?
Good question. Good question. Oh, we got to get to this whack job. I mean, if you're not paying attention, you really should, because we have some of the worst people in the world in Congress, in the Senate, who are working hard to undermine everything great about this country. I mean, they shouldn't just be expelled. They should be deported. Ilhan Omar should be deported, professing her undying support for Somalia and literally never missing a turn to criticize this country and everything it stands for. These are people supporting the radicals who are disrupting society. But we'll get to that Connecticut congressman, because there is real competition for the worst member of Congress, just the most vile piece of crap. And I want to talk about Seth Moulton. Everyone says I don't say anything good about Democrats. I got one for you. Seth Moulton, a guy who at the same time has more courage, more balls than any member of Congress, and he's also a coward. I'll explain, but first.
Excuse me.
Today's Callahan Show is sponsored by MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, use code word Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, for huge discounts. For example, the standard MyPillow, normally $69.98, is only $19.98 with code word Jerry. MyPillow is made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. It's machine washable and dryable. It's the most comfortable pillow you'll ever sleep on. It makes a great gift. Get it now to support this show and strike back against cancel culture. As you know, Mike Lindell is constantly under attack from the cancel culture mob. By purchasing from MyPillow, not only are you helping us out, but you're joining the fight against cancel culture. MyPillow, as you know, not available in big box stores, but you can get factory direct pricing if you order from MyPillow.com using code word Jerry. MyPillow.com, code word Jerry, 800-893-7406, promo code Jerry. You know, I point out that Democrats stick together. Yes, they do. It doesn't matter how much they disagree privately, publicly, they will never turn on each other. So I have a question for Seth Moulton. He is the congressman in the 6th Congressional District of Massachusetts. Ayanna Pressley is the congresswoman in the 7th Congressional District. So I assume they're together all the time. They have little meetings with the delegation. They're in Congress. You know, they're in the lunchroom. Seth Moulton is a freaking American hero. Seth Moulton, he went to Harvard, but don't hold that against him. He joined the Marines right before 9/11. And his military career is stunning. He led as a Marine. He led one of the first infantry platoons to enter Baghdad. He served 4 tours of combat in Iraq. He took part in the Battle of Nezara, leading a platoon that cleared a hostile stronghold. He kicked in doors in hostile territory in Iraq. 4 tours. In the action, he went to the aid of a Marine wounded in friendly fire, was awarded the Navy and Marine Corps Medal of Valor. He was in the Battle of Najaf. Over 2 days, he, quote, fearlessly exposed himself to enemy fire as platoon was pinned down under heavy fire and directed the supporting fire that repelled the attack. He received the Bronze Star Medal for his actions. I mean, he was amazing. This guy is incredible, a hero, real, real courage. He's a Democrat. I mean, and he sits with Ayanna Pressley, who refuses to condemn people who burn the flag and say death to America. And he says nothing. Where are your balls, Seth? Where are your guts? I mean, you're amazing. You were. And now you just turtle and you have nothing to say about another congresswoman who represents the next district, who hates this country, who looks at people like you, who would join the Marines and fight for this country and die for this country. She looks down on you, and she looks at the people burning the flag and says, yeah, those are my people. Where are your guts, Seth? Where's your heart? Where's your patriotism? You're not going to denounce your fellow Democrats who support this, burning the flag, cheering for Hamas, hoping that Israel somehow gets defeated, our ally. I mean, these people disgust me. Seth Moulton, you disgust me. You were once upon a time a true American hero, and now you're a coward. You're a coward. If you have nothing to say, I looked for it. He has nothing to say about this. What would you say, Seth, if a reporter went up to you and said, what do you think about people burning the flag? Huh? What do you got to say about people saying death to America? If she saw you, Ayanna Pressley, and you were in full uniform with all your medals, she would spit on you. AOC, Ayanna, Ilhan Omar, Tashib, they would spit on you. They have no respect for you because you fought for this great country. And you fought, by the way, against Muslim terrorists, the same people that your colleagues in the Congress support today. It's just amazing that they have this kind of, they stick together. Even when the people they're sticking with hate the country they're supposed to be representing. Disgusting. You should be ashamed of yourself, Seth Moulton. You really should. If you can't denounce Anna Pressley, then what good are you? What good are you? I mean, you're a Democrat first and American second? Is that how it works now?
That's how it seems.
He's got big balls, but not now. He did. He was a great hero. But all right, before we move on from insane Democrats, just that make you shake your head and say, who the hell votes for them? I mean, every 2 years, people go to the ballot box and they vote for these people. Massachusetts, we're bad. California, really, really. I mean, Adam Schiff, Eric Swalwell, Katie Porter, people vote. I realize some of them are, you know, not on the dole and some of them are illegal aliens, but Americans, taxpayers, vote for these people. Well, there's a Connecticut Congresswoman, Rose DeLauro, and I always forget about her, but I shouldn't because she looks like a bag lady. She has purple hair. She wears all kinds of weird scarves. She's 81 years old, and she's every bit the dementia patient that Joe Biden is. And she's been in Congress for decades. And you forget, this is an elected representative. She makes big decisions, including whether to send $61 billion more to continue the endless war, the unwinnable war in Ukraine. That's another thing. You have literally radical people, just real left-wing fringe people who love war, foreign war, endless war, expensive war. What happened to these people? You know, 20, 30, 50 years ago, they'd be marching in the streets saying no war. And now they can't get enough war. They don't want the war to end. None of them ever says, let's make peace. Let's settle this. This is not going well. People are dying by the hundreds of thousands. A generation of young men in Ukraine is wiped out. But they don't care because Putin bad or something. I mean, they don't understand. They're told. They're too stupid. This woman is stupid. But she's told by her leadership, by Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. They're told by Hakeem Jeffries, we need to do this. We need to support Joe Biden's endless war in Ukraine. And they do it with passion. I guarantee you this woman, I haven't checked, was against the Vietnam War, was against the Iraq War. But she loves the war in Ukraine where there's no American interest at stake, nothing. This war does nothing to help American people. Her support, her constituents, nothing. But she doesn't care. And she doesn't just support the war. She is passionate. And if you're not watching along, this is like looking, you know, walking down the street, seeing some homeless lady with a big shopping cart full of stuff, the walls. That's what this is. But she gets to decide to send our billions and billions to Ukraine. Let's listen for a minute.
And you know what? It was Donald Trump who said, don't give Biden a win. You think about that. Put that aside. This moment is now. The United States Senate, you can have all the views you want about the United States Senate, but hold them for this debate. It is now. It is about the United States House of Representatives. We have the opportunity to do what we do here, and that is to govern. And what are we doing in governing? Is that to be a world leader. And for months and months, we have been diddling around where people are dying in Ukraine. Don't talk about what weapons we want to give them. We're not giving them what they need now, and it has been months in the coming. And we ought to today, immediately, we should have picked up that Senate bill, brought it to the floor, and voted on it immediately, and we would be out of here today in doing it. Let us not rewrite what is happening. The moment is ours. And if the House of Representatives abdicates its responsibility, yes, the history will write the story. And that it is on us. When we had that moment, we said no. I, for one, will not say no. I will.
Jesus, that's an elected representative. People in Connecticut, people in Hartford are going to go to the polls in November and vote for this unhinged bag lady. And she doesn't care. Don't talk about the weapons. Don't, you know, let's not ask where the money's going. Let's just send the money because people are dying. Yeah. And more people will die the longer we keep the stupid pointless war going. Just madness we're living through right now. Madness. This is your radical left-wing fringe who are angry that we're not just sending a blank check, 5,000, a country this woman could never find on a map. Never. She couldn't explain the history between, you know, she doesn't know what the Donbass region is or Crimea. She doesn't care. She was told we need to send money because Putin bad. And she's angry that they would even debate it, discuss it. Let's look. What's happening here? What? Or the fact that we're $34 trillion in debt. Doesn't matter. Send more. Just keep sending more and more money. Before we go, we got it. Before we move on. In case you're wondering what else matters to this lunatic other than keeping the war going, we mentioned this. It was probably, I don't know, 2 years ago, but she has another really important issue. And you think this is parody. You think this is a joke. It is not. Someone reminded me of it, and I had to go back and look at it. But one of the other big issues on her plate is gender equity, not gender equity among, you know, whatever, students or, you know, employees or congressional, gender equity among crash test dummies. I'm not making that up. She was demanding gender equity among those dummies that they put in cars when they do simulated crashes. She was upset that they didn't have whatever, female parts. I think I have that right. Let's watch.
And to make important investments to address the roadway safety crisis, including the critical funding that would accelerate the development. And this is an area I've written to you about, of the use of female dummies in crash testing. This will start to fight the gender inequity among vehicle safety and crash victims.
Female crash test dummies. Look at this person. If you're not watching, she's just, I mean, you would literally cross the street if she was coming your way. She just looks totally out of her mind. And again, she's 81 and she's going nowhere and she's going to be in Congress, you know, for the rest of her life. She's going out. She is the chair of the House Appropriations Committee. That would be the committee that spends your money. This is the chair of the House. We are just lost. We are just lost. Before we get to one more political story yesterday, actually two more stories about RFK Jr. Good news. Actually, it's both good. RFK Jr. will be on the ballot in Michigan, which is good news for Donald Trump, good news for the country. Bad news for Israel, bad news for the hostages who Joe Biden doesn't care about. But it's going to be a desperate time for Biden in Michigan because RFK has apparently made the ballot on the same day that his entire worthless family came out and endorsed Joe Biden. Now, I guess this is supposed to be good for Joe Biden. Do I have that right? This is supposed to be good for the Biden campaign,
yep.
That this collection of inbred mutants, this gathering of just heroin addicts and losers and people who've never worked a day in their life and people who just inherited their money, people who don't shop for their own groceries, who live in gated communities, think Joe Biden's doing a wonderful job. Is there one American, one? I like Biden now. One American who listens to these just worthless people, these nepo babies, and says, you know, I think they're right. I think I'm going to support Joe. I was going to support RFK, but I'm going with Joe Biden because this is good for RFK Jr. I mean, to me, the fact that he's a Kennedy, that's not good. You think of Kennedys, you think of just these limousine liberals. And he's trying to break away from that mold, from that perception. This is good for him and bad for Joe Biden, but I'm sure Biden doesn't even know it. This is one of these worthless Kennedys yesterday as they gathered to stick the knife in their brother's back. Let's listen for a minute.
As Donald Trump proudly brags about overturning Roe v. Wade, rolling back the clock 50 years to when women couldn't make our own health care decisions.
Sounds like RFK.
President Biden explaining to get our freedoms back. Thank you, Joe Biden. Yeah. This is only part of the very long list of freedoms and rights that President Biden is protecting during a period of constant assault.
RFK wears that voice better.
All these rights and freedoms are on the ballot in November. Donald Trump is running to take us backwards, attacking the most basic rights and freedoms that are at the core of who we are as Americans. He said he will be a dictator on day one.
He wants
to suspend the Constitution so he can go after his enemies, after his critics, after the press. He is running to use his power to punish his enemies.
This guy's mouth does not shut.
Donald Trump is sitting in a courtroom while she's saying the same old lies. And, oh, yeah, he's going after his enemies. He's going to use that. And her guy, Joe Biden, is literally trying to put him in prison as we speak. I mean, that doesn't work. Getting the support of these people doesn't help. RFK should love this. He should celebrate this. The thing that makes him as appealing is he's breaking away from that, from this bunch, this worthless bunch. And by the way, half her speech was about abortion and her father, RFK Sr. and RFK and JFK, who were against abortion, but times have changed. So now it's all about abortion, abortion, abortion. That's all they got. And the looking at them behind them, it looks like a friggin', looks like a halfway house. Looks like an AA meeting when you see the wide shot of these people, none of whom who's ever had a real job in their lives. God, they're just loathsome. All right. Do I have time to do the West Virginia heroes?
Yep.
We need another break?
No, we're good.
Oh, good, 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 good. Well, we talk about this a lot. Every time we talk about a boy playing girl sports, beating up on the girls, talk about the kid in Lynn, the 6-foot kid with the beard, pretending to be a girl, who is hurting girls, literally hurting them to the point where teams had to forfeit because they didn't have enough players to play against this bully. God knows, we showed you the track meet the other day where the kid won the 200 meter by 5 seconds. And, you know, obviously we've talked a lot about Leah Thomas and other punks who get off on beating up girls. And every time we do this, people say, why do the girls participate? Why don't they step away? Why don't they boycott? Why don't they just say, we're not going to go along with this madness? Well, it's a good question. I don't always blame the girls. In fact, I never do, because they're girls, they're kids, and they don't want to let down their coaches, their parents. They don't want to be the one. You know, they don't want to be a renegade, a rebel. They don't. That's not the way they think. They're kids. Well, it'd be nice if they boycotted. It'd be nice. Well, here we go. A middle school in West Virginia. We are talking about 13 and 14 year old girls in a track meet. And there's a boy who probably couldn't compete with the girl, with the boys. And he decided to become a girl and play and participate in track. And he's a shot putter and a discus thrower, which means he's a big boy, you know, strong boy. And I assume, again, he's not good enough to win against the boys. So he told everybody, you know, I'm a girl, so I'm going to go kick some ass. The girl said, not so fast, refused to participate. And I'm not talking about just didn't show up. They took the shot, the big ball. They went to the circle and then they walked over and dropped it on the ground and said, we're not doing this. Sorry. Not participating. They're kids. I mean, they're just out of past puberty. They're children in West Virginia. And they did what every woman, what every girl should do. Again, it's hard. It's a tough thing to ask of a high school kid. But this, we don't know their names. Obviously, they're just kids. But they said, we're not doing it. We're not playing along. We need this. This is a wonderful thing. These kids should be honored. Their parents should be proud. their teachers, their coaches should be saying, good for you. This is from OutKick. On Tuesday, the United States Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that West Virginia law that bars boys from competing on girls' sports team cannot be enforced. So that's this kid, this boy, 13-year-old boy, challenged the law and won, said he could continue to beat up on girls. And the girls said, no, not doing it. So the court said, endorse this madness, this unfairness. And the girls said, you can't make us do this. Now, they don't get hit by him. It's not like basketball where they're getting roughed up by him, but they know that they can't beat a boy. Well, they know the boy has an unfair advantage. So they said, we're not playing along. Good for them. Way to go, girls. It took 13-year-old girls in West Virginia to step up. And you won't see this on the news, of course, because it doesn't fit the narrative, but we need more of it. Maybe these girls will lead the way. Hopefully their parents and coaches are proud of them for doing the right thing and refusing to participate in this. All right. Well, we don't have time to get into the Joy Reid. Joy Reid thinks we need more DEI in Major League Baseball because there's not enough black players in Major League Baseball. God, that shows you just how insane and incoherent the DEI thing is. She thinks there's discrimination against black players in baseball because, you know, teams don't want to win or anything. They want more white guys on their team. What a fool. She never lets you down, Joy Reid. All right, that will do it for today. The end of a crazy week. You know what's amazing? The Trump trial and the Karen Reed trial here in Dedham are on the exact same course. They're both, they started the same day. They're both going through jury selection. They're both ridiculous. They're both outrageous. And they both will blow up in the faces of the corrupt prosecutors. That's what's happening in real time. We'll be here for it all because it's going to be great. It's going to be great, as Turtle Boy pointed out, when the whole thing blows up on the corrupt prosecutors here in Massachusetts. And it's going to be even better when Trump's going to go to jail for the gag order, but eventually he's going to be a hung jury because the charge is so insane and he'll be stronger than ever. And we're okay with that. We're good with that. But that will do it for today and for this week. We made it to another week, Ironhead.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just barely, but thanks for listening. Thank you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll do it again Monday morning.
But I'm going to go to bed.